Brother Taylor, would you also ask the blessing on this service today?
Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy.
Yes,
Lord.
We do.
Hallelujah. From the rising of the sun until the going down the aisle.
The name of the Lord shall be praised.
Lord, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Praise you, the Lord. Lord, we come this morning to praise, honor, to magnify.
Yes, we do.
And to do your will, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for Easter. Thank you, Lord God, for your peace that passes all understanding. Thank you for your joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength, Lord. You said in your word, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you.
Yes.
And that the joy might be full.
Hallelujah.
Be filled with your joy. Draw closer to thee, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Move in the service today. Bless Pastor Venable. Strengthen him, Lord.
Thank
Lead,
you, Father.
Guide and direct him, Lord God. And help us
Thank you,
to
Father.
Hear the word of God and receive and to obey.
Thank you,
Thank
Father.
Thank you for peace, God. Thank you. Meet every need this presence, Father. Thank you, Master. Bless us to Venable. Heal our body, Lord. Thank you for all things, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ and for the glory of God, amen.
Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Brother Taylor has a test coming up, and we're looking for a good report from it. Whatever the report, God is in control and God is on the throne. And so let's just pray for this good report for our brother today. Lord, we don't like having to wait and see when all the reports that come in could be one way or another. Lord, we thank you for the word that you've given us. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? We thank you, Lord, that we go to your word, and we know we're going to get a good report. And so, Father, because of the report that you've given us, that you hear and answer our prayers, we pray right now for a good report. Father, until you call us home, we pray you will heal our bodies, you will strengthen us. Father, I pray for my brother that his body will experience healing every time that he needs it, and there will be a good report as a result of it. For we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ and for the glory of God. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Got another prayer request from Brother Hobbs, Brother David Hobbs. You remember him from how high he stacked his plate at all of our get-togethers? No, he did love, you know, he loved to get together, and he enjoyed the feasting part of his Jewish heritage spiritually. Amen. A lot of feast of the Jews, feast of trumpets, feast of tabernacles. Kill the fatted calf to celebrate. Go and eat the fat and drink the sweet. Brother Hobbs was a believer. And we love him and we appreciate him. He considers me his pastor by way of our website, and he comes to the website for sermons, and I'm honored that another minister would honor me enough to give me allow me to have that kind of respect and influence. When Brother Taylor amens me or says I appreciated that, he's a fellow minister. I look to him when I halfway quote a scripture to finish it. I look to Jimmy, a student of scripture. Amen. If I got some real deep questions like you asked the other time, I defer you to Jimmy. Amen. No, I don't know. Once it's deferred, it's deferred. You can't. We're not going to ping pong this. I defer it to you, because you're into that deep part of that, and I'm seeing the evangelistic high points, and you're going deep into the scripture. Sometimes we need to go and dig deep, and I appreciate you, my brother. I appreciate our media minister today. This is a celebration of a congregation today. This is congregation celebration day, I guess, because I appreciate all of you so much. And Doug, I appreciate the website. You make us look good, brother. You make me look good. Yeah, I know. He gets me before I'm disheveled, while I'm not holding part of my mic in my hand and my hair sticking up or something. So he makes me look good, makes us look good, so that people will be attracted to our, not because of me and my mug, okay, but because of the ministry that God has given us. that they will come and hear what the Spirit is saying to the church through His Word, amen, and through this vessel. I'm a clay vessel, nothing more, nothing less, and God has been good to me to give me the opportunity to minister to people in a live service. I can do this in a studio at home that I have fabricated and made, and kind of got the dog to quit barking and feed the cats. Cats will jump up on the window unit and look in the window and start crying if I don't feed them. So I finally get the dog to quit barking, and I get the cat to quit, you know, feed the cats. Send the dog somewhere where he likes to go and turn a fan on for him so he'll be comfortable long enough for me to make a broadcast. But it's not the same. It's a teaching thing. And I'm going to try to, I told him I would put, if we have something that I feel that is unctioned by the Spirit or to answer a question, we put up a particular special 30-minute Bible study up online, because people generally don't come there unless there's something that attracts them, some reason to spend the time. People are busy. Time is short in most people's lives. So we want to answer a question. I was going to preach on it today. The Lord changed my message on the way to church, but we want to answer that. A lot of people have that. I hope a lot of people have the question that you ask, because it's answered clearly in the Word of God, and it shows a desire that God honors and wants to answer. How can I have a good ground heart? Yeah. Amen. Amen. So we're going to bring that, and it's so important. If we're going to spend time reading the Bible, studying the Bible, hearing the Bible preached and taught, we need the kind of heart that can receive it and be fruitful.
Amen.
Amen. 30, 60, and 100-fold. If it ever gets in good ground, the life is in the seed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it explains to me something, because he said the word will prosper in the thing whereto I sent it.
Yes.
And he's going to make sure his word gets to those who have a hungry heart for it and a desire to hear and heed it. Every heart is not going to receive it.
Right.
In fact, out of the four types of ground, only one brought forth fruit.
Amen.
Four types of ground, same seed, sown by the same sower. That's not the preacher preaching, it's the Lord Jesus Christ Himself.
Amen.
By the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Does it intrigue you already? I wish I could preach on it this morning, but that's not the morning. But it will be coming, either in a preaching or in a teaching online. Another thing is, I want to talk about why tongues. We're Pentecostal, you're going to hear tongues. You're going to hear Him talking tongues while praying. And you're going to know you're in a Pentecostal church. We had a whole row leave one morning that came to visit us, and they'd heard the word, they liked the word, but when they heard the tongues, they were nice about it. They just got up and exit stage left. We had been put in a category that a lot of people are trying to put anyone that believes in the gifts of the Spirit or for today into a particular category. Thank God we don't fit that category. In fact, I don't know where we fit. We're misfits.
Yeah.
The people who don't believe that don't want us, because we do believe that. The people who believe that and just want that all the time and not to get down in the Word of God, we don't fit in that mold. So we're what we say we are. We invite everybody to come and receive from the Lord and come with an open heart. But I just want to commend you. You make us look good, and it draws people to come. And Brother Hobbs asked for prayer, so he's asked for prayer for his own body. We're going to pray for him today. And a friend of his that is dealing with cancer. And it's the lady, how many has ever watched NCIS? It's the Navy branch of Investigation Bureau on television. Does anybody know the name of that show? NCIS. There's a pigtailed hippie looking gal on there. Abby is her character. Well, she's got cancer, And she is in communication with Brother Hobbs. I don't know if it's because she's maybe in assisted living because of, I don't know how they're connected, but she wants prayer for cancer today. And I'm glad that Brother Hobbs is talking with her, befriended her, and communicating with her. We will certainly pray for Abby. That's not her real name, for cancer healing, and pray for Brother Hobbs for his physical body. So we just thank the Lord. You know, you can be she was almost 20 years with that television show. You can have money, you can have fame, you can have beauty, you can have talent, but if you've got a disease like that, you need God. But there's another disease that you need God even more for, and that's the terrible, terrible disease of sin and its consequences in our life. So we're going to pray today. Father, I pray for Brother Hobbs. He believes your word. He believes the Bible. He believes not only in you, he's trusted upon you today. I pray that you will heal his body. I pray for Abby today. I don't know her real name. You know her real name. And you want to write it down if it's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So I pray for Abby today that your healing hand will touch her. Show us your glory. Show us your miracles. As the man of old said in Israel, if you're for us, where are your miracles? And how did you answer him? You called him a mighty man of valor when he became, amen, what you've called him to be. And believe you for what you have promised to do. The miracles are going to be seen and manifest. Help us to be such people today, men and women of valor, that you will hear and heed when we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for Pamela today, who's doing real good yesterday, but in the middle of Publix, she got wobbly and she took a hold of my arm and she said, I don't think I could do this without you. And I thought of Jesus and me. I immediately thought of Jesus and me. Sometimes I get wobbly and weak. And I can't do it without him. I don't want to do it without him. And I hold on to him. In fact, he holds on to me. Praise God. And together, we walk this road toward heaven. Praise God. And I don't know. I felt that old song. My mother-in-law loved it after she became a Christian, gave her heart to the Lord. I can't even walk without you holding my hand.
Amen.
The verse says, I used to think that I was a mighty big man, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand.
Amen.
My dad, he used to play it on the fiddle. Jesus, hold my hand. I need thee every hour.
Yeah.
Through this pilgrim land, protect me by thy hand. I'll never forget him getting tearing up when he would just play it because he was doing the same thing. I can't walk without you holding my hand. I need help, and I've got help, but it's because you are holding my hand. I love the book of Isaiah, and we talk about all the things that could cause us to be so fearful. And God is saying, fear not, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness, saying unto you, fear not, I am holding you with my right hand. Glory be to God. There's a consolation in that. We're all trying to be strong. We're strong, but only in the Lord. Hallelujah. My dad had surgery. I took him up steps to get to the bedroom in my grandmother's house where he lived with her. And I got him around the waist. I was pumping iron back then. I won't tell you how much I usually do, but that's a pride thing. And that was a galaxy far, far away and long, long ago. I pumped food from my plate to my mouth, build up this one bicep. But I took him around the waist, And I just grabbed a hold of him, and I couldn't carry him up, but I could hold him so up that he felt my strength instead of his weakness. And he said, Bobby, halfway up the steps, he said, Bobby, he said, I feel your strength holding me. I thought, what a change has come when he used to hold me by the hand to give me a sense of security. And I felt his strength as my dad. And I had the privilege of holding him up. And he said, I feel your strength. It's like I felt stronger because I felt you holding me. I got a doggy, a little rescue dog that they brought to the church one Sunday morning. He would look in, but he wouldn't come in. We came out, and we had to take him home. He was scared to death. Homeless man had him, and he was scared to death. First ride I took him on, he shook and shuddered until I put my arm around him, put him in my lap, put my arm around him, and held him tight. And after a while, he relaxed. And after a while, he loved it. And every time I got in the car, he jumped up in my lap. I put my arm around him, drove with this hand. And after a while, I didn't even have to put my arm around him anymore. He knew that arm will come right here if it's necessary. And I can enjoy it. I'm just saying this as a prelude to what we want to talk about in just a few moments. I was walking with my youngest son, Matthew, in Tampa Bay, concrete near one of the bridges. As I was walking along, he wanted to get closer and look and see if he could see a fish in the water. He kept looking, but he was afraid to get too close. So I took him by the hand and gripped his hand. Actually, I offered him my hand. I went to grip it. He grabbed hold of two fingers. And then he was bold enough to look over, holding my two fingers. But the realization hit him. If I fell off of here toward that water, I couldn't keep enough grip to hold on to my dad. And I sensed that. I knew. And I just took his hand off of my two fingers and put my hand completely around his and let him sense my grip on him was his safety, not his grip on me.
Amen.
And what happened? Same thing. He relaxed when he knew Dad's got me. Dad is holding me, and he won't let me go. What did Jesus say? And he enjoyed it. He actually enjoyed something that fear was keeping him from enjoying until he says, I've got him. I'm holding him.
Yes.
Jesus said, those my Father hath given me, no man. Now you can do that, but no man can pluck them out of my hand.
Amen.
No one's that strong. Sure. For the Father that gave them me is stronger than them all. And no man is able to pluck them out of his hand. I'm glad that God has hands, and God has eyes, and God has feet, and God loves us, and he's able to come to us, and he's able to reach down to us. My dad used to play that. I was lost and undone without God or his son when the Savior reached down for me. When he reached way down for me. More contemporary, some of you remember it from the old Holy Church of God. He lifted me from the miry clay.
Yes, amen.
He put my feet on a rock to stay. He put a song in my heart today, a song of praise. Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The humble shall hear thereof and be glad.
Yes.
When people hear of God reaching down, saving somebody, reaching down, delivering someone, reaching down and healing someone. They take courage in their heart. They're so glad to know that it makes a difference, that God comes through. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. I can't even walk without him holding my hand. Thank God I don't have to walk without him holding my hand. Because he said, see, fear not. Fear not, Bobby. I'm upholding you with the right hand of my righteousness. Yes. Be not dismayed. It's so easy to just get this attitude of helplessness and hopelessness. If you're dismayed, you're hopeless. And you're hopeless because you're helpless. And he says, fear not, I will help you. Amen. Don't be afraid. Amen. I'm so glad for that today. So if you want to come to a church that's going to teach you how to become more independent from God through faith instead of more independent on him, you messed up today. You're in the wrong place. I want you, and I believe God wants you, to be more dependent on him, not through faith, in the name of faith, being less dependent on him. In fact, I don't believe that Peter was expected to walk the water to Jesus, even though he had the word from Jesus. And I'll tell you why. It was no surprise to Jesus when he sunk. And what made him sink? Got his eyes off the word? No, got his eyes off Jesus. Jesus told him, come. He got out on that word from the Lord and he walked on water. But he saw what he asked him. First, his eyes were on Jesus who spoke the word and said, Jesus, if it's you, bid me come to you. He said, come. He jumped out of the boat. He didn't sink. But he saw that the waves were higher. The wind picked up. When you start acting on faith, even if you're acting on the word by faith, you still have to keep your eyes on Jesus. You can't just quote the word and deal with it. He's still the author and the finisher of your faith. He's still the Alpha and the Omega. Amen. Lisa Lewis sent a little something to her website. Said, I love you guys. I want to say to Lisa Lewis today, we love you too. Just in case she comes by again online. Let's pray for Pamela today. Father, Pamela needed my strength. She needed me beside her yesterday. She said I couldn't even finish shopping if I was by myself right now. And I said, honey, you don't have to be. You don't have to worry. Thank God I'm here for you to hold on to. I'm glad God left me here. I'm glad Jesus is that close to us. We don't have to try to make it on our own. We don't have to fake it either, praise God. He's holding us, and he holds us fast. And no man shall pluck us out of his hand, and I certainly don't want to ever do without his hand. How about you this morning? Father, I pray you will touch my wife, that you will heal her. You will help her to regain her full recovery in the name of Jesus. But until she does, hold her close in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, and we praise you for it. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. A lot of things we prayed about today. Now I want to ask you one more thing as we get into the message, because I've about preached half of it. I think. If it was Easter week, I'd ask, how's your Hosanna? Amen? Yeah. How's your praise? Amen. But Easter week is past. So how's your hallelujah? Amen. Yeah. Did you bring one today? Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. See, the celebration is not over. That the world is a pagan holiday. It's Queen Esther and her son, Tammuz, is that right? And that's where Easter from Esther, fertility, you know, your crop's going to come in great. Your rabbits are going to multiply. They'll do that on their own, by the way. Amen. Everything is going to be multiplied. That's that. If you worship Esther, this fictitious queen of whoever, but we know what Easter is really all about.
Amen. Yeah.
The celebration is not something we do one time a year. It's something we celebrate throughout the year.
Amen.
Year in and year out. Jesus is alive and well today, and we celebrate Him. So I want you to celebrate Him with me in a praise to open up, just to test out your hallelujah this morning.
Amen.
Glory to God. Romans 8:28. How many know where that is in the Bible? The book of Romans 8:28. Many call it the knot at the end of the rope. When you're at the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on.
Amen.
And hang on.
Yes.
And hang on. Amen. Praise God. And this is a hang on scripture. When you feel like you're into yourself,
yes,
end of your rope, can't go any further, you're tired, you're cast down. We all get that way.
Yes.
I love the reality and the personal things about Jesus in Scripture. At Jacob's well, the Bible said he was weary. He became weak. He was in a human vessel.
Yes, sir.
God incarnate, God in flesh.
Amen.
Great mystery. God was manifest in flesh. Jesus. That's Jesus.
And justified in the Spirit.
Amen.
Preach unto angels
and,
yes, and received up into glory.
And received up into glory.
Amen.
But he was manifest in the flesh.
Yes.
And that's exactly why he knows exactly how to help you and I, which are still having to deal with the weakness, inabilities, and limitations,
yes,
of our flesh.
Amen.
He didn't lose those limitations as God in His Spirit, but in His flesh, He had the same limitations that we have. Otherwise, He would have been a supernatural being and He would have never got tired.
Right, yeah.
Thank God He got tired.
Amen.
So when I get tired, He gets me.
Yes.
Amen. Yeah. He didn't get discouraged. That's a spiritual thing.
Right.
But tired is a physical thing.
True.
And He got tired. He was wearied. And He told His disciples, they were headed to town to get something to eat. They hadn't had nourishment yet. How many know in a human body you can get what's called a sugar drop? You can get a drop if you don't keep consistent in your what you're putting in. It needs fuel to run. Like Pamela got a drop yesterday. And I was there to let her hold on to me until we got home, and I actually refreshed her with cottage cheese and peaches.
Good.
And her level came up, and she got some strength back. But what I'm saying is, He gets us. He understands us. So the scripture said we don't have a high priest that doesn't understand us. But He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. I'm glad God took on flesh. I'm glad He condescended. I'm glad He came down to walk with us, become one of us in that sense. He never lost His divinity. But He didn't operate. Jesus didn't operate as God in that physical body. He recognized the limitations of it. And He was, when the temptation came to Him by the devil, He had been fasting for 30 days.
40 days.
40 days. 10 more. Even hungrier.
Yeah.
40 days. And what's the devil do when he's at the weakest and hungriest? He comes to Him and says, "You've got the power to take these stones and turn them into bread." And Jesus answered with the scripture, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God."
Yeah,
But he experienced that hunger, that weakness, and the temptation was strong because he could have done it and violated the will of God.
Amen. Yeah.
He was tempted in all points. Now, all points, there's only three. Everything that's in the world, Jesus said. And Satan used these three on Adam and Eve. He used these three on Jesus Christ. He uses these three on you and me.
Amen.
Three doors. Jesus said, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life.
Amen.
The lust of the flesh. I'm hungry. Violate the will of God to feed that hunger. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
Amen.
He took him to a high place, showed him the kingdoms of this world.
Yeah.
And cast yourself down from here. Didn't it say angels would bear you up? Let them see you jump off here. Let every eye see you, and they'll laud you, they'll applaud you, they'll bow to you. That's not God's will for him. But pride, he appealed to the pride of life.
Yeah.
He took him to a higher place and was able to unveil in a panorama the kingdoms of this world, all the riches and wealth of all the known kingdoms at that time of this world. And he said, if you will worship me, it's in my power to give you all of these kingdoms.
Yeah.
Jesus once again let him know, without exception, my kingdom's not of this world.
Right.
He let him know that. It is written, in fact, he quoted three scriptures to close three doors. The lust of all that is in the world. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. In the garden, Eve saw the lust of the eyes. That tree of life was good. The lust of the flesh, I bet it tastes wonderful.
Yeah.
The pride of life, you shall be as wise as God. You see the three doors? There's three of them. It gets real simple, but it's hard to close them unless you really get serious with your walk with God.
Amen.
Because Satan is going to appeal to the lust of your eyes, the lust of your flesh, and the pride of life.
Yes.
God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. Amen. We used to sing that song, or little song from the island, Shut the Door. Keep out the devil, shut the door, leave the devil in the night, shut the door, keep out the devil, light the candle, everything's all right, light the candle, everything's all right, shut the door, you do the dido, shut the door. Maybe we better not do the dido. Give me a fist up over here, somebody. Amen. I know my voice is not up to par, but the Dido was even worse. But you tried, brother, you tried. No, it was good. It was good. I'm just kidding. Shut the door. Only you can shut it. Only I can shut it.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Shut the door. Keep out the devil. Light the candle. Everything's all right.
Amen.
Now here's The fact that he was weary, the fact that he got tired, the fact that he was tempted. The Bible said, insomuch that he was tempted, he is able to succor. Old English word translated from the Greek, which simply means to give help to them that are tempted. So if you're going through the temptation of just giving up, giving in, giving over, looking back, going back, whatever it is that wears you down and wears you out and wearies you, go to him. Go to him for help.
Amen.
You say, but my faith is faulty. My faith is wavered. My faith is so small. It don't take a lot of faith to go to him. Accept faith in him to help you. Offers help for all of these things that we face. We're not alone in this battle.
Hallelujah.
But you have to give up on self.
Amen.
And you have to quit depending on people many times.
Amen.
You have to look to God.
Amen.
At Ziklag, David takes his army. They're out on maneuvers. While they're out on maneuvers, an enemy comes. They take all of their goods. And not only that, they take their wives and children to put them into slaves, sell them as slaves. They come back, their family's gone, and all of their goods are gone. And guess who took them away from protecting them out on maneuvers to, you know, whatever David had going, leading his army? David. And they turned on their king.
Yeah.
And they spoke of stoning him to death. And now David, he don't know what's going on and what's happened. He tells the priest, give me here the ephod. E-P-H-O-D. What was that? It was the garment that the priest wore when he went in to intercede for the people. He said, I've got to intercede because we need an intervention. We need God to step in. I don't know what to do. But he encouraged himself in the Lord. In the Lord. In the Lord. You, sometimes people will help you. Sometimes they will come with a word of encouragement. But there may be times when they won't show up. When you need it the most. And we need to learn how to encourage ourselves in the Lord.
Right.
I go back and I rehearse what the Word of God has told me about Him. I go back to some of the fundamental, foundational scriptures that should be Sunday school level. I go back to the foundations of my faith. And I found out that for God so loved the world that He gave His Son. But I find that just like a, it propels me into something deeper. If He loved us enough in the book of Romans to offer up as a sacrifice in our place His only begotten Son, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Can you say amen?
Yeah.
And then go a little further into the epistles where it says He has given us everything, past tense, that pertains to life and godliness.
Amen.
Through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I go all the way back to Isaiah. I go back there all the time. Fear not, I'm holding you by my strong right hand.
Amen.
Don't be afraid.
Yeah.
And I just rehearse. I went through nervous exhaustion. I'm preaching victory. I'm preaching faith. I'm preaching overcoming. I'm living that life. Wow, it's great. Until I broke under the load of pressures that I carried, misreading a scripture that Satan tripped me up with. The Apostle Paul said, there's all kinds of things I'm going through, but on top of that, there's a real big burden, the care of all the churches. And I thought, carrying everybody, everything on my shoulders was part of the care. But you see, the Bible said that we're to cast our care.
Amen. Yeah.
Even if it comes and you can't get away from it, get out of it. Yeah. Casting your care upon the Lord, for He cares for you.
Amen.
I love the way that plays out in the Greek and the connotation. Casting all of your care, the whole of your anxiety, once and for all upon the Lord. For He cares for you and watches over you affectionately. In fact, the Old Testament said of the covenant children of God, even before the cross, it said that they were the apple of His eye. Now, the apple of my eye is Pamela. I wish you would tell her when she comes back to church. Amen. That's my get-out-of-jail-free card right there. Or doghouse, let's put it that way. He cares for you. He cares enough for you that His help to defend you, to help you when you need it, is a reflex of his love for you. Amen. It's a reflex action. Yeah. You know what the apple of the eye is? It's the little man. Apple, little man. It's the pupil. If a bee gets close to your eye, what do? Yeah, you swat the bee. I know. But first, you swat the bee. But that doesn't make this point, so let's go somewhere.
Amen.
It's true. I swat him too. You know why? Because I don't want him getting near my eye. I don't want him to sting in my hand anywhere. But especially, I don't want him getting my eye. What do? I shield my eye. Israel, by covenant, was the apple of his eye, figuratively. In other words, when I help you, it's not something you have to squeeze out of me to get me to do.
No.
It's a reflex action of my set love upon you.
Praise God.
Amen?
Amen?
I'm not just ready, but I'm willing and able.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not just ready to help you, but I'm ready, willing, and able to help you.
Amen.
Say it with me. Ready,
ready.
Willing, and able to help you. So he said, call upon me in the day of trouble. Ready. He must be ready because he invited us. Psalm 50:15. Honor him with thanksgiving and call upon me in the day of trouble. He's willing. I will deliver you. And he's able because when it occurs and it will occur because he's ready and willing. And thou shalt glorify me.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Amen. Do you realize when your prayer is answered and people hear of it, it gives them hope.
Amen.
Because you have come through that.
Amen.
Because someone brought you through that. Who is ready, willing, and able.
Yes, amen.
Who is Romans 8:28? For we know. We don't just agree with it because it's in the Bible, but we know it. It's a settled reality and fact within us. We've come to know God to that degree that all things work together for good to them that love Him and are the called according to His purpose.
Amen.
And His purpose is revealed in the next verse for every child of God.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of purposes. Individually, as we walk with Him and in our personal walk and our personal callings. But there's an overarching purpose in the Word of God. For whom He did foreknow.
Yes. Come on.
For whom He did foreknow.
Yes.
He did pre-purpose. Pre-arrange. Pre-plan.
Yes.
That we might be conformed to the image of His Son. Fivefold ministry till we all come to the unity of the faith, to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. Hallelujah. Being no more children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine.
Yeah.
And by the way, the winds are blowing hard now.
Yeah.
Because many false prophets have went out into the earth and they will and are deceiving many. Amen. Every wind of doctrine. And the Bible said, listen, if any man lack wisdom, generally and particularly about trials and tests, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the waves of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed.
And let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord.
Let not that man expect to receive... I'm glad you said that, brother. That's a tough stuff right there. Amen. Let not that man expect to receive anything. You can't be wishy-washy. If you're going to get in this book, you've got to commit to it.
Amen.
You can't let somebody tell you something that violates what's written aforetime. For the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the Scripture we may always have hope. Hallelujah. All Scripture given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So we can have anything we want and build our faith to get it. No. For rebuke.
Yes, come on.
Reproof.
Amen.
Correction.
Hallelujah.
And instruction in righteousness.
Yes, amen.
That the man of God might be fully furnished to every good work.
Yes.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You need to know this.
Yes.
If he wants you like his son, you're going to suffer some things.
Amen.
You're going to go through some things.
Yes.
Not always be delivered from them.
Right.
I'm glad Jesus didn't come down off the cross because he listened to some of the preachers of today.
Come on,
right. Amen.
Say, what am I doing up here? Look at here. They all denied me. They hollered, crucify him. They're not worth staying up here in this agony for.
Amen.
When I could be living in a mansion. Riding on a golden chariot with six white horses, eating the finest of luxuries of heaven. What am I doing down here hanging on a cross, suffering for an outfit like this? I'm glad he didn't hear somebody's tape. I'm glad he was God enough that he wouldn't listen to it on the inside. But he felt the temptations. But he stayed on the cross. Thank God he did. Thank God he didn't let one of those doors stay open to the devil. And he countered with Scripture. It is written. It is written. It is written. Three scriptures from one book. We got a whole Bible. He used three to defeat the devil and slam those three doors in his face. Three scriptures from the book of, I believe, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if we believe this whole book, particularly all the victory that's ours in the New Testament, how many, all we got to do is slam three doors.
Right.
All that's in the world, everything Satan can possibly use through this fallen world system, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's why he said don't love the world. Don't align yourself with it.
Right.
Don't accommodate it.
Right.
Love not the world, nor the things that are in it. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I've never seen people so divided, not only biblically and spiritually divisions, but divided politically.
Yeah.
I know people that carry Bibles that stand in pulpits that have openly admitted they've aligned themselves with that that God hates and those who hate God.
Yeah.
Did you hear me?
Yeah.
I said that that God said he hates in Scripture and those who hate him. Yes, they hate him.
Yes, they do.
They don't want him. They hate us because of him.
Right.
And you know what he said to us? Jesus, marvel not if the world, that system, and those who embrace it, marvel not if they hate you. They don't just disagree. Have you ever heard the term, let's disagree but not become disagreeable? Honey, they hate you, they disagree, and they are very disagreeable. There's no meeting in the middle. Marvel not if the world hate you. It hated me before it hated you. But if the world embraces you and the world applauds you and you're okay with them and you still follow him, Jesus, you have nothing to boast in because the world loves its own. They belong to the world. And when the world that is under the justifiable anger of God, wrath of God, and when the world receives the judgment of God, those that belong to the world will receive the judgment that the world receives.
Yes, sir.
But the Bible said that we are not of this world.
Amen.
Somebody know the Twilight Zone theme? You're sitting in a room full of Christians today. That means aliens have invaded the earth. Glory to God. Somebody said aliens are real. I meet with them every Sunday. Glory to God. Amen. They don't come in flying saucers. They come in Buicks and Fords and Toyotas. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. But I'm serious. Amen. You, my children, the whole world lies, little children, the whole world lies in wickedness, which means under the distinct, direct influence of the devil. But you are not of this world. Hallelujah. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Our citizenship is in heaven. Amen. King James, it's rendered conversation. It's not about what you're saying. It's about who you are in Christ. Amen. It means right now, your name is on the rolls of the citizens of heaven. 24 elders, angels who live there, those who have preceded us home. Amen. But our names are on that roll. I used to hear one preacher say, I believe back in the 60s, I believe in rock and roll. My feet are on the rock and my name's on the roll. That's cute, but it doesn't make a lot of sense, but it does. Amen. It's not just cute, it's real. Our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. All those that face the final judgment with the world and the people of the world, the wicked who refuse to come to Jesus, refuse the offer of salvation. The only one standing at that great white throne judgment, consigned with the devil, with his angels, fallen angels, false prophet, and the Antichrist, consigned forever to the lake of fire. No redemption, no turning back. Only people that stand, the unjust, there's a resurrection. They're not celebrating it because they don't know it's coming. But it's coming. There's a resurrection of the just and a resurrection of the unjust. And in the book of Revelation, prior to that great white throne judgment, the unjust are going to be resurrected. The Bible said the sea. We think we got a corner on resurrection. Every person who has ever lived and died from Adam are coming up from the ground. Amen. Everyone. Amen. Madeline Murray O'Hare will be resurrected. The pastor, founder of the First Church of Satan in California, Anton LaVey, he will be standing on that day. He dead and gone. His dying words were, according to those who were there, I've made a big mistake. Something is terribly wrong. So many words. I think you gave me a book one time about the martyrs, and there were the words of those who died in the faith, not just as martyrs, but just as Christians. One great Christian said, his last words were, I'm as happy as a schoolboy bounding away from school. I always think of you being a teacher. School is out. School is out. No more. No more what? No more something. No more books. No more teachers' dirty looks. Let's see it. Okay. Boy, scared. I'm glad I'm out of school. How about it? You saw it from way over there. No more teachers, no more books, no more teachers' dirty looks.
Amen.
School's out. Did anybody go to school here? Not how high you went, but did you go to school? On the last day of school, how did you feel? When that last day of school summer, I'm going swimming, I'm going to drink lemonade, going fishing. Amen. Going to have a good time for 3 months. Going to sleep in. Watch cartoons on Saturday. And Sunday. And Monday. Amen. Here's a guy. He's leaving this world. He feels his spirit's about ready to leave. I'm as happy as a schoolboy. Only way he could explain that feeling, as a bounding away from school. I'm out of school. I'm free from any of that responsibility. It's almost over. D.L. Moody had lost 3 grandchildren to some kind of fever that he'd come through. You go in the cemetery, you see a lot of children, because way back they didn't have antibiotics like we have. They didn't have treatments like we have, and a lot of children died from something as simple as flu and the fever that came with it, and they'd go into over 104. They'd put them in ice water sometimes, try to get it down, but they didn't have nothing for them to take. And they died. 3 children, 3 grandchildren of D.L. Moody's died. But as he was becoming lucid and in and out, they were praying, number one, for him to stay. They didn't want a great preacher winning so many souls to go on to heaven. They wanted him to stay. But he knew it was time to go. And he told them, when he became lucid and heard them pray, he said, "Don't pray for me to stay here. In other words, I'm going to receive a crown. I'm looking forward to where I'm going, and it's time for me to go." But he said something to his wife that really soothed her, ought to soothe you and me today. Amen. Because they had lost these 3 children, he became lucid just before he passed away. And he said these words, "I've been to the city. I've seen the children." Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you, the gates of pearl is going to be something to see. There's 12 gates to that city. 4 square city with 12 gates. And they are not just pearl embossed or encrusted. They are carved from a solid pearl. Somebody said, "Brother Venable, where could you find a pearl that big?" Well, God built this city. And God can take a pearl the size of a BB and say, "Be thou large enough to carve a gate out of." Poof! Until an angel carved that into a... Have you ever seen somebody do an eye sculpture? Angel did that to a... He had a sharp knife, 2 curls or... He didn't need no knife. God said it. It happened. Amen. He's built a city. Gates are going to be something. When we walk through them, I do not think we're going to stand and ogle at the gate. Oh, look at that gate. My gosh, what a gate. Never seen a gate like... Listen, there's somebody on the other side of that gate. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, looky here. Looky here, honey. Look. Look, the streets. Look at this. Ah, they're made out of solid gold. Yeah. Can you imagine? Look at all this gold. Somebody just down that street, more precious than gold. Amen. More costly than pearls and diamonds. Amen. There's a Savior waiting to welcome you home. The only person in heaven with any scars will be Jesus. Glorified bodies will be unscarred except for him. I do believe, because when he came out in a glorified body, he still had the scars of his crucifixion. And when Thomas doubted and thought, this can't be a human being, this can't be real, this is an apparition, this is a spirit. And Jesus said, "Listen, Thomas, the spirit does not have flesh and bone.
As you see me have.
And then to further help him, but thank God he helps us believe. He said, "Come over here. I want you to put your finger through the holes in my wrist, which is part of the hand." That's what held him. "And I want you to put your hand in this riven place, this rip in my side, and know that this is not an apparition. I am not a ghost."
Right.
Hallelujah. "I have risen and a flesh and blood body that has been glorified, but it holds the scars of his love for us. And it will, I believe, because of that, throughout all eternity, that we will, you know, you can take anything for granted. I mean, after, remember the song, 10,000 years, it'll just be started.
Yeah.
10,000 years, and it'll just be begun. And after living in that city 10,000 years, you won't stop and gawk at the gate.
Right,
it'll kind of be, yeah, what a gate, yeah. No, but there's something you will stop and gawk at.
Yeah.
You know what you will gawk at? Every time you get a glimpse of Jesus, you will know this is the reason that I'm in this city. This is the reason God built this city. It's for me and you to live in with Him forever. But He's the reason I'm here. And it was His suffering, and I'll never lose gratitude to Him for all that He's done for me. Not just the city, but Himself for me, so I can live in this city with Him. Hallelujah. And the people that have preceded us to heaven. I got a daughter in heaven, Lisa Marie. And I'll be so happy that I won't need an angel to show me around and get me familiar with the place. I believe my daughter's been there a long time. And I believe Lisa will come in. When Kayla hugged me last Sunday, Kayla don't hug everybody. It's a privilege. Isn't that right? She don't hug it. She's not just a natural hugger. Amen. But she gave me a hug. I said, praise the Lord. Amen. But I can't wait for my daughter. I thought of my daughter. I thought what it would be like as a dad. I had two old boys, but something about a daughter. It's a daddy's heart. I'm sorry, guys. I mean, it's just that something about that. You're a daughter. You eat it up today. Just eat it up. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. But I can't imagine my daughter, Lisa, who I went with to from a little hospital in Plant City to a big hospital before she passed away with a, had actually her intestines had not opened up somehow. When any solid liquid or food got in, something happened internally. She passed away. She was premature, but she was perfectly formed. She had big head of black hair. I had black hair back then. And she was fully black, full head of black hair. And I rode with my hand on an incubator in the front seat of an ambulance from Plant City with her. And I remember looking through that incubator glass at her and saying, that's my daughter. And I love you. And I kept telling her, I love you. I love you. I love you. You see, when I get to heaven, my daddy's there. I led my mother to the Lord. She's there. I led my grandfather to the Lord. He's there. Amen. Hallelujah. My son preceded me to heaven. He's there. I mean, my treasure is laid up in heaven. And it's not gates. And it's not streets of gold. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. When my daughter comes running down that street, I'm not gawking at no gate. When my Savior welcomes me and says, I'm working for a well done. I want Him to be, I wish, I pray that I could hear Him say, with all of my flaws and fallacies and failures, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter you in to the joy of the Lord. Remember, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord. The joy of our salvation. The joy of our Savior.
Yes, amen.
Welcome. 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 I want to hug Him. Amen. I want to do something. I try to do in praise and worship and the way I serve Him, but I want to touch Him. I want to hold him for a moment and thank him.
Amen.
Amen. And angels will probably pull me off of him. And say, listen, there's a whole lot of people in line. You've had your turn. I want to slap Adam and hug Jesus. Two things. Come on, it's his fault. Through Adam, death reigned on all men. We're having this struggle with the darkness and the flesh because of Adam. What were you thinking? No, I'm sure he's redeemed. Amen. I believe he is. Because God slayed an animal, covered him with a covering, started a scarlet thread that ran through the scripture to the book of Revelation. Adam, the harlot Rahab, scarlet. The blood of the Lamb, scarlet, running. Listen, I want to see Jesus. I want to see my loved ones. I want to see people that I led to the Lord on their deathbed. Praise God. I want to see some people I didn't know if they made it and find out that they did call on him and they did make it, because it's not his will that any perish. So throw that idea of being predestined to heaven or hell the day you're born. He would have to will somebody to hell for that to work. It don't work, because it can't work, because it's not his will that any perish, but that all come to repentance. He wouldn't even close the book until he said, whosoever will, anybody who wants to. The price has been paid, the way has been made. Say it with me, the price has been paid, the way has been made. Glory be to God. Whosoever will, let the bride say, come. Let he that heareth say, come. Amen. And whosoever will, let him come and drink of the river of life freely. Religion will complicate a grace that is too wonderful to mess with. But they'll mess with it. God ripped He ripped this veil between the holy and the most holy when Jesus said, it's accomplished.
Hallelujah.
And what did they do? Did they say, wow, he's the Messiah. We've got salvation. They rebuilt it, hung it right back up. That big linen veil that said, keep out. You can't come back here. You'll never be holy enough to walk back here. Only one priest who offers sin offerings for himself can come back here to intercede for your sin once a year. And you better put a rope around him and put bells on his sleeves of his garment, so as long when he walks back and they hear those bells jingling, they know he's offering the offering for the sin offering for the year. And let him wash himself. He said, I was going to get that for you. Are you okay? I got him before he could get me today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Mike turning green and blue. Sometimes I wish I was a black man. Sometimes I say things so embarrassing I turn color. Black man, don't worry about that. Once a year, they put a rope on him. Why? Because he had to go through ceremonial cleansings. He had to go through that figurative cleansing, that he could even walk back there before he could offer a sin offering for the people, he had to offer a sin offering for himself. And if he failed to qualify, he would be... Anybody see, it's okay, this is not a trick question, Indiana Jones movie when it first came out, that go way back. Remember when they took the lid off of that ark? It's dangerous. It was dangerous in the Old Testament. I mean, when people tried to do a good thing when they're carrying the ark, and it wasn't a priest who did it. Amen. It was just somebody saw it and looked like about to tip, and he reached over to stop it from tipping, and he dropped dead. Why did God allow that? Because he wanted us to know there are things that are so holy. Even if it's with good intentions, you can't mess with these holy things unqualified and irreverently.
Amen.
So if he failed, judgment would fall on the covenant people. But there was a way to avert it. If he offered the proper offering on the mercy seat. But if he failed, and he fell down dead in the presence of God behind that veil, they could pull his dead body out, get another priest lined up, and send him in. They couldn't go back there to get him out. They couldn't send some medical crew or something. They had to drag him out, because you just couldn't go behind that veil. But when he said it's accomplished, what he accomplished through his cross was so complete, so powerful. God tore that linen veil. It said it took about 300 priests to hang it. It was heavy. It was like a wall, not a curtain, more of a wall. And it said, "Keep out. You're unworthy. This is dangerous. You can't come back here." But when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible said we have access with confidence.
Yeah.
Woo! Not only do we have access to that holy presence of God, we have confidence that we are welcome.
Yes.
Glory, because he tore it up.
Yeah.
How's your hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. It's working. It ought to be working.
Amen.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. So when I need help, I know I can come to the throne of grace, because we don't have a high priest that can't be touched with the feelings of our... That's not your sickness, that's your weaknesses.
Right.
Your inabilities. Your infirmities.
Amen.
But was in all points, all three points, tempted as you are, yet without sin.
Amen.
Therefore, you can come boldly. That means with courage and confidence. Say it with me, with courage and confidence.
Yeah.
That you're going to be welcomed at the throne of grace.
Amen.
To receive mercy and grace to help. Why is he merciful? Because he walked in one of these. And he understands the limitations and the proclivities to sin and all the things that go with it. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power might be of God and never of ourselves. Hallelujah. We are cast down. We are not forsaken. Persecuted, but not destroyed.
Yeah.
The word, oh yeah, we are cast down, but he lifts us up.
Amen.
We're not forsaken. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Persecuted. You know what that means in the Greek? Chased as a deer.
Yeah.
We're made of prey. The devil wants to destroy us.
Yeah.
But we're not destroyed.
Amen.
Because greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. We're perplexed. We don't have all the answers, but we know him who is the answer.
Amen.
So we're not in despair.
Amen.
We don't know which way to turn, but we know who to turn to.
Yes.
And that's Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. So he says, come. Come with courage and confidence,
yes,
that you not only have access, but you are very, very welcome,
yeah,
to receive mercy and grace to help.
Yeah.
Grace to help in the time of any need.
Yes.
Because He is able and faithful to make everything in your life if you will come to His throne of mercy and grace. Hallelujah. To work together for good to them that love Him and are the called according to His purpose.
Amen.
He wants you to be more like His Son.
Amen.
So He allows you to go through. Not always deliver you from. Sometimes He will. I want it all the time.
Yeah.
But that's not His purpose
right. All
the time.
True.
Thank you for the hearty amens. Cricket, where's... There's a cricket. I think he's way back in the corner. I almost heard him chief. It got dead quiet for a moment. Jesus wants you to... Jesus learned obedience. He learned to overcome the same weaknesses, proclivities we have in His flesh as He became flesh through the things that He suffered.
Right.
Tell that to this modern day postmodern church, get rich, get wealthy, live in opulence and never have a care generation. And they don't want to hear that. So they can never become more like Him. They can only become more like them.
Yeah.
Who are they? The people of this world. The wealthy, the rich, the people in power, the people that don't care about homelessness on the street or crime on the streets because they live in a compound. You got to go through a gate to get into their neighborhood.
Yeah.
They got a gate to get into their house. You can't walk up to the door and knock on the door of their house. Amen. They don't fly in there with the crazy people. That's the rest of us. Amen. They fly first class or they have their own jet.
Yeah.
Like one of them said, I don't want to be in a plane with a bunch of demons. I thought, well, at least we got to go that way. We got to get some victory over demons so that we can ride in the same plane but not be bothered by it. Praise God.
Right.
Hallelujah. Like Brother Hodges used to say, if you've got real victory, you can live in a duplex with the devil a half a block from hell and keep the victory.
Amen.
That's victory. Hallelujah.
That victory.
Aren't you glad you're saved today?
Amen.
Aren't you glad you got a Savior?
Hallelujah.
They used to sing it, oh, what a Savior.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Why did they do that? Because this kind of love, this kind of mercy, this kind of grace was literally unheard of in the old covenant.
Yeah.
But in the new covenant, it was revealed.
Amen.
It's a mystery that has become more and more clear. And as we get clarity on what redemption means and who our Redeemer is,
There's
a joy and there's a courage and there's a strength in that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. And I know bad things will come every now and then. In this world, how many are in this world? I know you're aliens in the earth. We're not of this world. We don't belong to the devil. The world don't like us. In fact, it hates us because it hated Him. Hallelujah. And we identify with Him instead of them. And we align ourselves with Him and not with them. Not out of meanness or holier than thouness, but the fact that we are followers of Jesus Christ. And that makes us an enemy of the world.
Right.
But it also makes us a friend of God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know what they're singing in the bar? Jessica will remember. Jennifer will remember this. Some people have known that life. Has anybody ever been in a... I don't want to see your hand. Just raise your heart. Hand. How many's ever been in a bar in your life before you got saved? You have? I never dreamed. I told you not to show it. You haven't been in no bar, sister. You've been sanctified as a baby, sprinkled with a water bottle, sure. No, we've all were lost before we got saved. We were lost before we got saved.
Amen.
But the glory of salvation is this. The Bible said we walked after the course of this world. We went with the flow. We let the current just take us along, and we were happy to go along. But when we came to Jesus, we became upstream Christians in a downstream world. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. And we need and have help for God's purpose to take us through this world, amen, take us through the temptations and the down times that we go through, and take us all the way to the holy city He's prepared for us to live with Him eternally.
Amen.
We have help from above because He's able to take everything the devil throws at us, everything life throws at us, and everything the world does to us, and weave it together in the fabric of His eternal purpose for us, so that He's able to make good come out of even suffering for His sake.
Amen.
We become more like Christ and more dependent on the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And you don't have to ask for it. Just live in this body,
amen,
in this world, and it'll take care of itself.
Amen.
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 He that suffered... Oh, got to close with this in 1 Peter, 2 Peter. Read them both, you'll find it. Homework. I assign homework. For as much as Christ suffered for us in the flesh, in the garden before He was even nailed to the cross,
yes,
that suffering, not my will but thine, was there was a cost to that.
Yes.
Arm yourself with the same mindset.
Yes,
arm yourself with the same mind.
Yeah.
For he that suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin.
Amen.
That sin no longer, that's not perfection. It means sin doesn't reign because Satan doesn't rule.
Amen.
Sin doesn't reign because Satan doesn't rule.
Amen.
I'm going to say it again. I feel the unction of the Spirit. Sin doesn't reign because the devil doesn't rule anymore. You're not the devil's servant anymore. Jesus is now your king. He's your ruler, praise God. His kingdom has come and the devil's kingdom has gone.
Amen.
Hallelujah. For as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself with the same mind.
Yes.
For he that suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, consistent over and over and over and over. Amen. That sin no longer reign in your mortal body to fulfill it in the lust thereof. If sin doesn't reign because Satan doesn't rule, Jesus is now Lord. And we struggle with our flesh, and we struggle with the proclivity towards sin. But we crucify the flesh by the help and grace of God.
Amen.
And the lust thereof. Because we don't walk even as others after the course of this world.
Yeah.
Praise God. It's time Christians need to check out.
Amen.
Amen. And align yourself.
Yes.
You can't be double-minded about this. You've got to get single-minded.
Amen.
Whatever the cost of following Christ, if it gets you at the office where they look at you because once they know where you are politically, they're going to assume whether you are or not. They're going to assume that you're conservative. And if you're conservative, you might be one of those Christians. And if you're a Christian, you're a Bible believer. And the Bible has said some bad things about our activities.
Yeah.
What is socially and culturally accepted is called sin in the Bible.
Amen.
And it brings the consequence of judgment. Who wants to be around people like that if you're committing sin and you don't want any conscience about it?
Yeah.
Come on.
And you may, on top of that, be one of those Christ followers.
Yes.
And you're troubled. Marvel not if the world hate you. It hated me. I want to make sure that I'm on the right side. Because Jesus is coming soon. And those that belong to the world will be judged with the world. But those who belong to Christ, the Bible said the only people at that final judgment, other than the wicked that have been resurrected to face that final judgment, There's some people that will not, they'll be conspicuous for not being there in Revelation 20.
Yeah.
You know who they are? Those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Can you say amen? They won't be there because they'll be there. Glory be to God with him. Because in Revelation chapter 4, there's a great cry. And John, he's showing them things in heaven and showing the revelation of Christ. But from chapter 4 to chapter 20, there's no mention of the church. The letters to the church up to chapter 4. But in chapter 4 of the book of Revelation, there is a cry. And everything from that point is seen from heaven looking down to the earth. You know what the cry is? Three words. Come up here.
Praise God.
Does that remind you of something? Have you ever wondered? I'm just going to throw this in. All the theologians can debate this, but I'm going to say it so they can debate me, which is easy to do because they got it all over me. Listen, but they don't have necessarily the joy that I'm busy, you know, trying to figure it all out to enjoy it. What's clear? Come up here. And from that point, there's nothing dealing with the church because we're with him. Amen. I believe Jesus is going to come according to 1 Thessalonians, the Lord himself. He's not sending a chariot. He's not sending angels. But the Lord, he redeemed us. He's coming for us. Hallelujah. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. I believe the shout is going to be, come up here! Whoosh! Well, I get joy out of that. I don't know if it does anything for you. You say, brother, that may not be what that means. Well, it may not, but I know one thing. When the trumpet sounds and the Lord himself comes, he's going to shout. The voice of the archangel, the trumpet is going to sound, and the dead in Christ are going to rise, and we which are alive and remain, force of that pull of heaven is going to be so great. Amen. It's going to pull them up out of the ground, and it's going to pull us right on up with him if we're still alive.
Amen.
And we will forever be with the Lord.
Amen.
Wherefore, comfort one another with these very words.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's what we're supposed to be talking about in church. The heaven-bound church talks about him in heaven. The earth-bound church talks about money and power and things and nothing but material blessings. They have taken Satan's bait. They're after the kingdoms of this world. We're after the kingdom of our God and King, Jesus Christ, whose kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, I'd have angels come and deliver me. My kingdom is not of this world, neither are my kids. He didn't say it in those terms, but I can tell you, we belong to him. We're the sons and daughters of God. We're the children of God. And the whole world lies in under the power of the evil one, but we are the children of God. And I'm glad to be a Christian today. More than I would be if I was, who could I be that the world would idolize? Does anybody know who it might be?
Brad Pitt.
Listen, I was in a dentist's office having some work done on my teeth, and I told the dentist, I said, I want you to make my teeth look like a smile or something. And my smile didn't look too good then. Anyway. And the nurse said, have you ever looked close to his teeth? I said, no, but I figured, you know, everybody loves him. He must have beautiful teeth. I never really got down and, I don't know Brad Pitt personally. She said, you know, there's a gap He's got kind of like rabbit teeth in the front. I said, well, I definitely do not want rabbit teeth, but I would like them to stick down below my lip just a little bit so people can see I actually have teeth.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt, he says. How about Elon Musk? I'm talking about the money part, not the Musk part. Come on, Mike. We're going to heaven, brother. Our name is already on the roll. We might as well have a good time while they're hating us. Oh, yeah, they're hating on us now. But when we're gone, they're going to miss us. Not us per se, but what this world's going to become when he that let is taken out of the way. Amen. What's coming is not good for this world. And they'll wish we were still here holding it back when it all crashes down. But I'm on my way to heaven, and the journey is getting sweeter every single day. Hallelujah. You know what I feel like? I don't know who could do justice and preach my funeral. I meet with three guys, and all of them said, you know, Brother Venable, when you... Yeah, I said, well, listen, I got an associate minister, and he could do that. And I got people here that could, I think Jimmy could bring some scripture. I think Doug could, one time he said, we got the sweetest, kindest. Boy, he put the pressure on me. One pastor's appreciation. I thought, you mean I got to be sweet and kind all year long? So he could do my eulogy. But I thought about making a video and preach my own funeral. An hour and 30 minutes. A 90-minute video. I don't mean bragging on myself. Just saying, if you only knew where I am now and what I'm experiencing. Glory be to God. Let me tell you about the streets of gold. Hallelujah. Jimmy, bring that scripture. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's a song out that I had them play from my father-in-law's funeral. If you could, I led him to the Lord. Amen. If you could only see me now. About someone who precedes us to heaven. If you could only see me now, not sick in bed, not emaciated, not dying, but living eternally with him in heaven. Woo! I wouldn't really do that. That'd be y'all wouldn't come anyway. Well, you would. You'd just stop the tape midway. Amen. I'm happy to be a Christian before I'm happy about anything else. I'm happy to know that he's holding me, that he is upholding me with the right hand of his righteousness, saying unto me what we need to hear, fear not, I got you. And I'm holding you so strong that no man will ever pluck you out of my hand, because my Father's greater than all that want to do it, and no man can pluck you out of his hand. And he gave you to me. Praise God. So we are hid in Christ, in God. That's our security. That's our security today.